Which church? Church of God, or the church which is his body? Mike McGlatery. If these words of God seem strange to you, it may be because they do not fit in with your own understanding of it. May none of us find that we have been using the Bible as a tool to justify our own understanding. Rather, let us believe the words on the page, without adding our own assumptions to them. Let us believe that God still knows more than we know, and then let us seek God's wisdom and knowledge. God made covenants with Israel to make Israel acceptable to God. Leviticus 26:12. And I will walk among you, and will be your God, and ye shall be my people. Part of the Abrahamic covenant made those Gentiles who bless Israel acceptable to God during Israel's rise. Genesis 12:3. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. But Israel is no longer rising, but rather, Israel has fallen, and been blinded and cast away until the fullness of the Gentiles be come into what the one Spirit is baptizing Gospel of Christ believers into today. Romans 11:11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them, Israel, to jealousy. Therefore, no one can be made acceptable to God today by blessing Israel. Israel's gospel of the kingdom / gospel of the circumcision is no longer in effect. It no longer works. After Israel fell, God saved, sealed, and separated Saul of Tarsus unto the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified, set apart, by the Holy Ghost. Romans 15:16. I must repeat that it does not say that people are saved by the gospel of God. It says the Gentiles might be acceptable. No longer does anyone need to bless fallen Israel in order to be acceptable to God. Although Paul never preached Israel's gospel of their kingdom, he did first preach the gospel of God, to make them wise unto the salvation of the gospel of Christ, which is God's power to save believers. Believing the gospel of God makes a person acceptable to hear and believe the gospel of Christ, to be saved. We see that in other places too, in briefer form. Let us look at 1 Corinthians 1:2, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2, Paul says that those believers to whom he is writing, who had separated from the apostate synagogue in Acts 18:7, who had believed the gospel of God in Acts 18:4 and 5, were then sanctified, or set apart and acceptable to hear and believe the gospel of Christ, to be saved. Then, Paul conveyed God's calling to them to be saints, sanctified, in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 9. In that verse, the word for saints has the same root as the word for sanctified. So, Paul was calling them to be believers in the gospel of God which would make them acceptable and sanctified to hear and believe the gospel of Christ. Then, Paul tells an alternate way of expressing the gospel of God. He calls gospel of God believers, all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. The name of anyone identifies him, it represents the facts about who he is. Romans 1, verse 2, 1-4, says that God promised the coming of Jesus Christ by announcing several identifiable facts about who the coming Christ would be. Those biblical facts are named in Romans 1, verses 1-4. Not only does the gospel of God make people acceptable to hear and believe the saving message in the gospel of Christ, but the gospel of God is what Paul was separated to from the womb of his mother religion, Judaism. Not only was Paul separated unto the gospel of God, but you can see the record of him carrying out that calling in Acts 9, verses 20, 22, 27, and 29. Acts 9:20, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Acts 9:22, but Saul increased the more in strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. Acts 9:27 But Barnabas took him, and brought him to the apostles, and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Acts 9:29 And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. Both those in the body of Christ and those in Israel's Church of God needed to believe the gospel of God. The apostate synagogues were apostate because they rejected the gospel of God, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, risen from the dead. When Jews or Greeks heard Paul preach the gospel of God in the synagogues, if they believed that gospel, they were no longer welcome in the synagogue, according to John 9, verse 22, and John 12, verse 42. John 9:22, these words spake his parents, because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already, that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. John 12:42, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. After Paul preached the gospel of God to them about who Jesus really is, and after they got ushered out of the synagogues, Paul had a group with two kinds of believers in it, as we will see in a few minutes. But both kinds of believers needed to know how to be saved into the body of Christ. So, Paul preached the gospel of Christ to that two-part group, showing them how God had started saving people now. He would preach to them what this new gospel of salvation was, this power of God, by which he saves people who believe the gospel of Christ. Early in 1 Corinthians, Paul briefly shows how to be saved in chapter 1, verses 17 through 24. But later, by the time you get to 1 Corinthians 12:27, Paul says, "Now you are the body of Christ." So, Paul initially preached the gospel of God to them. After that point, Paul no longer calls them to be sanctified saints or set apart to hear and believe the gospel of God. By then, they had already believed the gospel of God to become sanctified ones, saints, set apart to hear and believe the gospel of Christ. Then, he reminds them briefly of the gospel of salvation that he had preached to them. Then, after they have had the opportunity to hear and believe that Christ died for their sins, Paul tells the believers in 1 Corinthians 12:27, "Now ye are the body of Christ." Then, a little later, in chapter 15, Paul goes on to give a more detailed declaration of the gospel of Christ, the gospel of salvation. But here we see the brief telling of the gospel in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God." Do you see the connection there? The saved are saved by the power of God to save people. That is the preaching of the cross. In other words, the preaching of what Christ accomplished on the cross. Speaking of the power of God, that is what Paul calls this gospel, that he believed, and that he is preaching, the gospel of Christ. Romans 1, verse 16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." So, Romans 3, verse 21 and 22, tell us that this salvation, this glorious righteousness of God, that is imputed to us, is unto all. But it is only upon all them that believe, Romans 3:22, "Even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference." Corinth displays the two different groups of churches. On the topic of Paul's churches being a group or pattern of churches separate from Peter's churches, we can glean some facts from Paul's inspired comments to those at Corinth. I believe the scriptures clearly show that the group in Corinth, to which Paul wrote, had previously been adherents to apostate Judaism. But by Paul's gospel, many had now become believers that Jesus was the risen Messiah, the Son of the living God. Some of those had gone further to believe Paul's gospel of Christ crucified for their sins, and in so doing, they became part of the new body of saved believers. part of the pattern that God started with Paul's Acts 9 salvation. Understood? If I say to you, go close the door, you understand what I mean, but part of it is unwritten. The subject is missing. Or rather, the subject is understood. The subject is you. The meaning of that sentence is, you, go close the door. Gotta get up and move around means I've got to get up and move around. The I've is understood. Go close the door means, you, go close the door. The you is understood. 1 Corinthians 10:32 is the same way. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. That verse is telling them something. But, who is the them to whom Paul is speaking? What 1 Corinthians 10:32 means is this. You, give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. See the four groups in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 32. So, what is 1 Corinthians 10, verse 32, saying? First let's count the groups in the verse. Starting at the end of the verse, there is the church of God, then the Gentiles, then the Jews, and we still have at least one more group in the verse. The other group, or groups in the verse, are the you, to whom Paul was talking. So, who was the you, group to whom Paul was talking? Well, they were not one of the other three groups, they were one or more additional, different group, or groups, or else Paul would not have named the other group separately. If I say to John, don't hurt Bob, it's different from saying to John, don't hurt yourself. Bob is not John. So you see in 1 Corinthians 10:32, you understood is a different group from the three groups that Paul names in the verse. So, there were four groups in Corinth, in 1 Corinthians 10:32, not only the Jews, Gentiles, and Church of God, but also the you understood group, including body of Christ believers in the gospel of Christ, who came out of the synagogues together with those who had started to believe, like the little flock, Church of God believers. Both of those two groups believed the gospel of God, that Jesus is the Son of God, the risen Messiah. The difference between those two groups, which separated out from apostate synagogues, was that only the body of Christ also believed the gospel of Christ crucified for their sins. Paul knew that a main part of his commission was to preach the gospel to the remnant according to the election of grace, before Israel's diminishing ended with their Acts 28 blinding and casting away. Romans 11:5, written in Acts 20, even so then at this present time also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. 1 Corinthians was written just after Paul separated the local, newly believing, little flock, and the local, newly believing, body of Christ, from the local apostate synagogue. Then he spent 18 months teaching the Word of God among them. But it was still written before Israel's blinding. In 1 Corinthians 7:17-20, Paul lets them abide in the same calling. Wherein each was called, it was an obvious goal of Paul, in writing 1 Corinthians, to challenge those that believed his preaching of the gospel of God to also believe the gospel of Christ, to be saved. 1 Corinthians 7:17. But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called every one, so let him walk, and so ordain I in all churches. 18. Is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. 19. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God. 20. Let every man abide in the same calling, wherein he was called. Actually, the word Paul used was let. Let is not a commandment, it is an allowance, it is grace. But those verses show that although the you group included all of Corinth's new believers in the gospel of God, yet, some of those believers had, and some had not gone on to believe the gospel of Christ, to be saved. Not only was there a Jewish remnant that would elect grace, but Paul's commission included gaining them, and saving some of them, before Israel's blinding. 1 Corinthians 9:19. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. 20. And unto the Jews I became, as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews; to them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. 21. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ. 1 Cor. 9:20. That I might gain them that are without law. 22. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. 23. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you, by seeing you saved. All these following factors must be satisfied to accurately survey this situation. 1. Paul's commission in Acts, before Israel's blinding, is to save some of the remnant according to the election of grace, by preaching the gospel of Christ, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. 2. Paul shook hands at Jerusalem, not to go to the true circumcision. 3. Church of God consistently refers to the little flock of believer Jews, the Israel of God. 4. The Bible tells us that in at least 3 places, Paul took believers in the gospel of God, including some that also believed the gospel of Christ, and he separated them all from the apostate Jewish synagogues. Paul separated his believers in the gospel of God from the church of God. Paul departed from the synagogue, entering into Believing Justice's house immediately adjacent to that synagogue. In fact, Justice's house joined to it, was built to it. The chief ruler of the synagogue, Crispus, believed, and also many of the Corinthians believed when they got to hear Paul's gospel of Christ crucified for our sins, Acts 18:7-8. That is key here. They did not believe until they heard. They did not hear until it had been preached to them. It had not been preached to them until Paul was sent to preach to them. Rom. 1:14-15. Romans 10:14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Romans 10:15. And how shall they preach, except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, and bring glad tidings of good things. In Galatians 2:9, Paul shook hands with James, Peter, and John, saying he would go to the heathen, and leave the true circumcision to Israel's apostles. So, in that time period, all the gospel of God believers having separated out of the apostate Jewish synagogue in Corinth, Paul again separated those electing to believe Paul's gospel of Christ from those who were electing to remain the true circumcision, Church of God believing only the gospel of God, and Israel's doctrine. Remember, Paul's Acts 13:1-4 commission was to call out the remnant according to the election of grace. As can be seen by his destinations and his preaching, Paul was not merely calling them to be the true circumcision by adding to the Jewish doctrine, belief, in the gospel of God. Paul was further calling them into the body of Christ by the gospel of Christ. So Paul writes back to them in 1 Corinthians 1:2, calling those who had come out of apostate Israel to believe the gospel of Christ, being baptized by one Spirit into the body of Christ. 1 Cor. 1:2. Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified, set apart, in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours, both the Lord of Israel, and the Lord of the body of Christ, Lord of both churches, who was calling them to be saints, God was calling them, by Paul. 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son Jesus Christ our Lord. So, the phrase, the Church of God, basically refers to the little flock, converted Jewish believers. Now, we will be talking about those that were sanctified, those that were called to be saints, those that were to call on the name of the Lord. Paul first went to Corinth in Acts 18:1-18. You understood group that Paul later wrote to was one of the two groups to whom Paul addressed the Corinthian epistle. 1 Cor. 1:2. Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Paul wrote to the church of God at Corinth, telling them that they are set apart, sanctified in Christ Jesus. Some of the apostate Jews who heard Paul preach about Jesus being the risen Messiah believed, but didn't immediately believe that Christ died for their sins. In fact, all of that U group had, in effect, become part of the believing little flock, Church of God, before some of them went on to believe the gospel of salvation preached to them by Paul. I believe that is the Church of God in Corinth that Paul is addressing in 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 1:2. The Church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Possibly, some of the Jews in the Corinth synagogue had been to, or heard about it at their annual, required feast of Pentecost at Jerusalem, the year that Peter preached. A few weeks after Jesus Christ had been crucified and resurrected, Peter preached at their feast about the kingdom offer, and their having killed their Messiah. 3,000 believed Peter's gospel, and were added to the Matthew 16 church which Jesus Christ built in Jerusalem. Matthew 16:18. That little flock of believers were set apart unto obedience. 1 Peter 1:2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace, be multiplied. Those believers in that first century Church of God in Jerusalem were sanctified unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. But they had to obey, sanctified unto obedience. Remember, Matthew 24:13, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Israel was still under the same covenant conditions as before. Israel had agreed to obey all the laws, all the time, as we see in Deuteronomy 30:14-18. Deuteronomy 30:14. But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth, and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. Deuteronomy 30:15. See, I have set before thee this day life, and good, and death and evil. Deuteronomy 30:16. And that I command thee this day, to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, and his statutes, and his judgments, that thou mayest live, and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. Deuteronomy 30:17. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away, and worship other gods, and serve them, Deuteronomy 30:18. I denounce unto ye this day, that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land, whither thou passest over Jordan, to go to possess it. Christ never revealed to Paul to preach to us that the body of Christ goes in to possess the land of Israel. We have been promised a house, eternal in the heavens, not on earth. 2 Corinthians 5:1-4. We know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. That is an indisputable difference. So, yes, they were sanctified, set apart, but we mustn't read into that what God did not say. They were not yet saved, they were waiting to be saved at the revelation of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. 1 Peter 1:9. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. 1 Peter 1:13. Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. They were being called to be saints. With that in mind, look again at the verse, 1 Corinthians 1:2, unto the Church of God which is at Corinth. Those newly the true circumcision, expelled from the apostate synagogue, Acts 18:5-8, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, set out of the synagogue, but set apart in Christ Jesus, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Paul is writing to former synagogue goers, which were sanctified by the gospel of God, set apart, and he is telling them that God calls them to be saints. 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son Jesus Christ our Lord. God called them to be saved saints about 9 verses later in 1 Corinthians 1:18-24. But before they could believe the gospel of salvation, they had to hear Paul preach to them the gospel of salvation, Romans 10:14-15. Compare to Paul's similar urging to the Romans, Romans 1:6-7, Romans 1:6 among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ, Romans 1:7 to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul is calling them to be saints, and in 1 Corinthians, Paul tells them how to become saints, saved by the gospel he is preaching to them, just as we are. Those Corinthians had been in the covenants of promise, by being in the commonwealth of Israel, by blessing Israel, in the synagogues, on the Sabbaths. But now, Paul was calling them to be saints, saved having heard and believed his gospel of Christ, into the body of Christ. The name of Jesus Christ. Then, Paul also addresses that epistle to a second, similar, but wider group, all that, in every place call, upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. It was Israel that was required to believe in the name of Jesus. Luke 13:34-35, Luke 13:34, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets, and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. Luke 13:35, Behold, your house is left unto you desolate, and verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me, until the time come when ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Before reading these next two passages, let's review who Peter, James, and John write to, Galatians 2:9 and 1 James, Cephas, Peter, who spoke in Acts 2, and John, who wrote 1 St. John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me. They gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they go unto the circumcision. The circumcision, that's the little flock, the church of God at Jerusalem. Believing Israel, Peter and John address, and write only to Israel. Acts 2:21-22, Acts 2:21, And it shall come to pass, that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Acts 2:22, Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. 1 John 3:23, And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son Jesus Christ, and love one another, as he gave you as commandment. Calling on the name of the Lord, or his identity, is always associated with Israel needing to believe that Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus of Mary, is the Christ, the Messiah, of their own Old Testament prophecies, such as Daniel 9:25-26. Daniel 9:24-70 weeks, H 76:20, weeks equals 7s, 7 times 7, are determined upon thy people, and upon thy holy city. To finish the transgression, and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Daniel 9:25, Know therefore, and understand, that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks, and 70 weeks, the street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. Daniel 9:26, And after 70 weeks, which follow the 7 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city, and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. 70 times 7 equals 490 years, 7 plus 60 plus 2 equals 69 weeks, which is 483 years. Taking an average of the two estimates of the Nehemiah 2:6-8 commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem, 446 BC. AV, averaged with 454 BC, Usher, we start at 450 BC. To that 450 BC, we add the 483 years of Daniel 9:26, 69 sevens, the 70, and 2 weeks, 62, start, after the 7 weeks in Daniel 9:25. So Daniel prophesied the Messiah being cut off in 3380. That is well within the disputed 4 years of calendar difference error. Some scholars even figure the 483 years, down to the day that Christ was crucified, Daniel 9:26 and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city, and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. 1 Corinthians 15:3-4 I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died, Messiah be cut off but not for himself. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Even though Israel had Daniel's prophecy of Messiah being cut off in 33 AD, the vast majority remained apostate, with only the little flock believing the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus of Mary, Jesus of Nazareth, is the prophesied Messiah, the Christ. So, it was Israel that was required to believe in the name of Jesus Christ. That is who Paul is calling to be saved saints by the gospel of Christ, into the body of Christ. This is more documentation that Paul called the remnant, according to the election of grace, into the body of Christ, by the gospel of Christ their Messiah's newly revealed good news. Distinction between Paul and the pew group. At the start, earlier, we looked at the meaning of the phrases in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2. Now, let's look at the last phrase in the verse, 1 Corinthians 1 to the church of God, those who were sanctified in Christ Jesus, those who were called to be saints, those who were to call on the name of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:2 unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Paul adds a description to the addressed groups, that Jesus Christ is both their Lord and our Lord. He is both the Lord of Israel and the Lord of the body of Christ. That makes a distinction between the Paul's own relationship to the Lord and the relationship to the Lord of those believing only Paul's preaching of the gospel of God in Corinth, coming into the church of God, Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Let's explore what that distinction is between the Apostle Paul and that you group at the time that he addressed his epistle to them. Remember, we studied earlier the fourth and unnamed group in 1 Corinthians 10:30 to give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. That fourth and unnamed group is the group that Paul is addressing, pew, give none offense, the fourth group, pew, neither to the Jews, the first group, Jews, nor to the Gentiles, the second group, Gentiles, nor to the church of God, third group, church of God, the you is understood to be the subject. So, let's see what the Bible says about the distinction between Paul's relationship to the Lord and the you group's initial relationship to the Lord before believing Paul's gospel of Christ crucified for their sins, sanctified, little flock Jews. Paul said that after the pew group in Corinth believed Paul's initial preaching about who Jesus is, they were sanctified in Christ Jesus, 1 Cor. 1:2. But, he didn't he say, that they were saved, or saints. There is one group in the Bible that is sanctified while waiting to be saved. It is the little flock, Luke 12:32, the Israel of God, Gal. 6:16, believing Jews, Acts 14:1, 21:20, like the ones that Peter preached to and wrote to, 1 Pet. 1:2-5. Let's look at the verses that tell us that. Acts 21:20, and when they heard it, they glorified the Lord, and said unto him, Thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they are all zealous of the law, 1 Peter 1:2-5, 1 Peter 1:2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. 1 Peter 1:5 Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Hebrews 10:29. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Paul was addressing his first Corinthian epistle to newly believing Jews, now sanctified, that had believed the gospel of God, about who Jesus is, which Paul preached before he preached the gospel of salvation. Paul was calling them to be saved saints. Look again at the verses, 1 Corinthians 1:2 unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call, upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Paul follows this by telling them, how be saved saints in 1 Corinthians 1:18-24 1 Corinthians 1:18 for the preaching of the cross is to them, that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved it is the power of God. 1 Corinthians 1:19 For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. 1 Corinthians 1:20 Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? 1 Corinthians 1:21 For, after that in the wisdom of God the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God, by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. 1 Corinthians 1:22 For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. 1 Corinthians 1:23 But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. 1 Corinthians 1:24 But, unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Paul called them to be saved saints. When Paul tells these believing Jews that they are called to be saints, a few verses later, he says that Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Then Paul proceeds to briefly preach the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God, to save them to be saints. Paul briefly said that it is the preaching of the cross that is the power of God to save us. Paul preached that by the foolishness of preaching the cross, God saves them that believe. We preach Christ crucified, the power of God, unto salvation, and the wisdom of God, unto salvation. 1 Corinthians 1:18, 21 1 Corinthians 1:18 For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. 1 Corinthians 1:21 For, after that in the wisdom of God the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God, by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe the preaching of the cross, that Christ died for our sins, believe it. So Paul gave them all they needed to respond to his call to be saved saints, by believing the gospel of their salvation. By believing Paul's gospel, they had followed the pattern that God set by saving Paul, forming the body of Christ. Later in the same epistle, chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, Paul goes into more detail about that gospel of salvation. A separate group, the body of Christ. Since, in 1 Cor 1:0-32, Paul tells the few group that he writes to in Corinth to give none offense to the church of God that they had just come out of. So here, he is writing to that part of the ejected new believers which went further to believe the gospel of salvation. That you group would have been the only remaining group of the four groups in 1 Corinthians 10:32. They would be the body of Christ. That is also true of 1 Corinthians 11:16 and of 1 Corinthians 11:22. In both those verses, Paul addresses the body of Christ, and he addresses them about the church of God. 1 Corinthians 11:16 But, if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. 1 Corinthians 11:22 What? Have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. The pew group that Paul addressed in Corinth can only be, like Paul's, a different half of that separated group that today we know as the church, the body of Christ, not the Jews, not the Gentiles, and not the church of God in Jerusalem, and not the church of God in Corinth. You can see that the church of God is not apostate Israel, nor is it the body of Christ. The church of God is the believing, prophetic remnant of Israel, believing the gospel of God, that Jesus is the risen Christ, Son of God.